Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. It is Monday, May 21st, 2018. So, I've been writing a lot lately, meaning just the last few days, about how I'm, finished with the news coverage of all that's going on in Washington and the courts and the FBI and the president and Congress's lack of action, et cetera, et cetera. And lots of things, you know, sort of pushed me in this direction. But one of them was listening to an episode of the Daily Podcast last week. And they were talking about what will happen if, when Mueller submits his, findings, can it result in an indictment of the president? And they seemed to say, obviously, there was no interview with Mueller. Mueller didn't speak, but apparently he spoke through some official channel, and he said, no, I can't and will not indict the president. And then they suggested, now we're in the speculation part, is that maybe what will happen is he will be listed as an unindicted co-conspirator, not named, but there will be one, and it'll be obvious that it's the president. That phrase happened, is familiar. It was used in Watergate, and Nixon was the unindicted co-conspirator in a lot of the indictments that were handed down during Watergate. So there's a little bit of comfort in that, but the theory is that basically they will have their findings and turn it over, to Congress, presumably, or just put it out. Turn it over to Congress with the conclusion, in that it would be up to Congress to act on it. And in a functional American government, there would be no question, at least not in my mind, that Trump has committed acts that require his impeachment and removal from office. He's breaking every one of the rules. It's like a presidency that's operated for his own personal gain and for no other reason. And so it's not a good situation. And so I realized at that point, and I kind of knew this, and I was being lazy, and I think a lot of us were being lazy, thinking that, okay, as long as the Mueller thing is going on, going forward, we'll just sort of wait and see what happens. But we now understand clearly, and I think we understood before also, I have to say, that it will not reach a conclusion. He's out there doing his job, but what he's telling the rest of us is this isn't going to solve your problem. If you want to get off the brink of disaster, which, really every time that guy wakes up, there's a chance that this will, here comes nuclear Armageddon. It's really in your hands, American people. It is in our hands. The press, however, isn't facilitating that. They just continue on the same thread over and over. You watch Rachel Maddow on Monday night, it's the same on Tuesday, it's the same on Wednesday. It's this sort of steady drip, drip, drip of things that conclude something that we have already factored into our view of the world, is that it is a corrupt presidency and it's brinksmanship, it's very dangerous. And so what they're saying is, listen, don't look to us to tell you what to do. We're not going to do that. And which is a shame, because they could view it as part of the story, is that, okay, there's the one hand, the power that's in the government of the United States, the Congress and the courts and the president, and then there's the fourth estate, which is the journalism, and then they just leave the rest of us out of it. We're simply spectators. And yet there's this assumption, this crazy assumption, that we have to be paying attention to every goddamn detail that comes out of that channel. And I bought into that, except over time, it's like I'm spending less of my attention watching Maddow, and I've been skipping it. And I'm going to keep skipping it. As long as this is what they're doing, I don't think there's any point in me listening to it. I, as a member of the jury, to the extent that my opinion matters, it's not going to change. I already know what my vote is. My vote is get the fucker out of there. Let's get him out of there and let's get ourselves back on track. Let's get a reasonable sort of government in there and let's start solving some of the other problems that we have instead of creating these fantastic new ones. So, and that's what's behind everything that I've been writing, which is, you know, if you're expecting, I just think there was the wrong, we took the wrong approach when Trump was elected. We listened to a lot of people who said, you know, this is how you have to deal with a totalitarian government, not realizing that it wasn't going to be a totalitarian government on day one, that it is not over. And it wasn't over on day one, and we never should have adopted the attitude. I think the attitude of this is not normal. That's your responsibility. Is simply just don't accept this as normal, and you'll be fine, I guess, was the assumption. And I think that a lot of people heard that in that is instead of saying this is not normal, instead of that they said this is not happening. But it has happened. It is happening. It has happened. And our job isn't not to just accept it as not normal, because we can accept it all the way as not normal, all the way through the concentration camps and all the way through nuclear Armageddon. We can just say, well, as the bombs are dropping over the skyline of New York, which happens to be where I live, that we'll just be saying as we are incinerated, oh, this is not normal. Well, the truth is, it's totally normal. It's just what's happening, and you have to accept it. You have to accept it. That doesn't mean that you accept that it must always be this way, but you have to accept that it is this way now, and we have to change it. Now we have a monarchy now. I mean, you know, if you ever wanted a better demonstration, they're not even hiding it. I mean, you know, Ivanka Trump goes down to Jerusalem, opens the American embassy in Jerusalem. And what the fuck is she doing there doing that? That's my first question. What's her standing? When she talks about the, you know, she's there as the representative of the United States of America. How the hell did that happen? Now, I don't know what we do. One thing we can do is, and I just throw out ideas, we ought to be discussing what do we do. And this ought to be happening openly. There ought to be a thread that isn't completely focused on the government, that isn't completely focused on this defective personality and the royalty situation. We should have one that focuses on what the people are doing. Let them pay attention to us for a while. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I always used to say this about developers. It's like, you know, they've got it wrong. When Apple has a developer conference, the developers should be on stage and the Apple people should be in the audience. Why? Because we vastly outnumber them and we have a far, far greater economic power than they do, just in terms of numbers. You know, most of the development that happens in the Mac happens outside of Apple, and it would give them a different idea of who they are and what their relationship is to the rest of the development world. It's like, well, here we are, this is what we need from you in order to be able to do all this great shit. Instead, it's all turned around. And this is what's turned around in our whole society. This is the elitism that everybody is so fed up with. It's this idea that there are people who are better than us, and they are the ones that we all have to listen to, even if what they're doing is saying nothing, and at a time when things absolutely do need to be said. Okay, so what does need to be said? We need to be talking about ideas for demonstrations, for things that we could be doing every day. You feel like getting out on the street and demonstrating and being with other people who are just completely fed up with this situation. There should be something on the schedule every weekend for you to do. And we spend a few months doing that. Or basically, okay, you can take a weekend off, but I'll be out there in your place. And then the next weekend, you'll be out there and I'll be taking the weekend off. So that, okay, so we get in the habit that every weekend, we're out in the streets. And if something really egregious happens, we all go on strike. We have a general strike and nobody works. That should have happened on with the massacre in Santa Fe, Texas. We should have had the infrastructure already in place and we should be doing this. We should, okay, so it happened on a Friday. So basically the strike will be programmed in, because you know almost everybody takes off, you know, the weekend in the United States. So there you go. We're all out in the street, and instead of we're having a way to express ourselves. And I think that that's the beginning. Then the next thing happens is we start, instead of just marching and having protests, we use the human energy that we have accumulated to start doing things to make things better. We did this actually during in the 70s, early 70s, when the first with the first Earth Days. This they grew out of the anti-war movement. And so there were Earth Days. And what did we do on Earth Days? Well, we went and cleaned up neighborhoods. You know, I was going to school in the Bronx, and the Bronx had a lot of streets that were just filthy with garbage. And the city didn't clean it up. So we cleaned it up. So we went out there with our bags and all the high school students, and we went and cleaned things up. It actually is incredibly therapeutic to do that. You just affect a very small part of the world, but you make it better and you can see the result of it. I've long felt that political campaigns ought to do this, that they ought to have, you know, say a quarter of all the money they spend is not about running ads. It's about civic improvement. It's about things that we can do right now with all the resources that we have, you know, in addition to showing up for rallies and cheering and, you know, at all the slogans and the sound bites, you also actually go out and you do good. And you do that in the name of the campaign, so that you're wearing a button while you're doing good that says the name of your candidate. And that's it. And if they ask you about your candidate, you talk about it. But you're there to, you know, if you're a doctor, you're there doing free health checkups. Whatever your expertise is, you're out there, or even if it's just physical labor, you're out there doing something to make things better with people, and while you're doing it, you're talking politics. It would be very good for us to get in the habit of doing this, is that people making a contribution. This is why we all feel, I think we all felt powerless before the 2016 election. I was writing about this, is that as individuals, we feel there's nothing we can do to improve the world. We want desperately to do that. This is where we will get the meaning from our lives. And these campaigns don't do anything to improve that. I thought Obama was going to do that. I thought when Obama takes office, we're going to continue all of the community involvement things that he had going for his campaign. But they all just shut down when the campaign was over. And that was incredibly disappointing. We're supposed to be about self-governance in this country. That was the vision for the United States. It was a government of the people. I mean, this is what Lincoln said. This was 100 years after the establishment of the country. He said, government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. This was at a more, even more existential moment, a crisis for the United States. It was our Civil War. We were split in two. We were fighting a war with ourselves, which is not unlike what's happening now, you know. And there were some visionary people after that war who thought, well, we could try to put this together in an awful way, or we could try to put it together in a good way. And we ended up not putting it together back together in a good way. We're still fighting the Civil War, basically. This is still just another, you know, it's the city versus the country, basically. And the way our system is set up, even though there are a lot fewer people in the country than in the cities, they have an exaggerated political power. So that's why you end up with a situation where the president was elected but didn't get the majority of the votes. It's because you don't need the most people. You just need the most people in the right places in order to elect a president. You know, they talk about will there be a wave or not. I think that's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to be a wave. And in order to be a wave, we have to get organized. And one thing's for sure, the press isn't going to do that for us. And another thing's for sure, the Democratic Party's not going to do it for us. For whatever reason, they can't do it. They're lost. They don't know how to do it. They don't see it as their mission. They just sort of think, well, we're just like hoping that we get the enough votes to run the country, or at least to run Congress after this next election. I think once we are out in the streets, and we're out in the streets on a regular basis, I think we will change the entire feel of the whole thing. And the focus needs to get off of the tweets of this crazy man who is sitting in the White House watching TV and using Twitter. The focus needs to go back out onto the people, because we are the ones with the power here. So that's where I'm coming from. Talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye.